Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The inner game is the relationship we have to our authentic purpose and contribution in life. It's about the ways that we grow personally and spiritually on the inside that affects everything on the outside of our lives. The quality of our inner game is becoming increasingly important because we now know that our quantum world shifts to reflect whatever is inside us. Each of our contributions is critical to the quality of what is possible for us all on the planet. And these are conversations with people who are up to something evolutionary in their lives, and an opportunity to hear about how these people are taking on their spiritual and personal growth, and how that strengthens the contributions they're making to the world. Our guest today is Amy Stanton, co-author with Catherine Connors of The Feminine Revolution, 21 Ways to Ignite the Power of Your Femininity for a Brighter Life and a Better World. Amy also founded and runs Stanton & Company, a marketing and PR agency specializing in brands targeted at and built by women. Thank you so much for joining me today, Amy.
Thank you, Gwen. It's so wonderful to speak with you.
Well, I'm excited to share your work with our listeners because it brings something new and really important to honoring the feminine and how we go about that in practice. In your book, you say that femininity contains the seeds of our greatest powers. And I know you are largely focusing on women with your book, but I'd love your take on how that statement pertains to men, you know, especially at this time in our evolution.
Well, that is a conversation that we could go on with for hours and hours in and of itself.
Isn't
it? As a starting point, the premise of our book is that femininity and feminine qualities have been perceived as weak and weaknesses by society, and as a result, by us, by ourselves, and that we may be repressing some of these feminine qualities consciously or subconsciously. And that absolutely applies to both men and women. And I think we've heard a lot of conversations about wanting to encourage men to be able to show their softer side or their vulnerability. And in recent years, that's been an important breakthrough. What's interesting, actually, is that there have been fewer conversations about encouraging women to be able to show that side of ourselves,
right,
even if the preconception is that we already do.
And so in the context of what's unfolding in our evolution as, you know, male and female and human species, what do you think is the at the heart of the contribution of the feminine revolution to that?
Well, there's so many important conversations going on around female empowerment and feminism and equal rights. And I'm a feminist and certainly all for really elevating everyone. But what we realized is that actually there weren't any conversations going on around femininity. And starting with my own personal experience of feeling like because I had maybe toughened up in the workplace and developed this more assertive, aggressive, direct approach in the way I lead and manage people and work with clients. And by the way, those qualities serve me in so many ways. But I was feeling like maybe I had lost touch with or even shied away from some of my softer qualities, my emotionality, my sensitivity, even the fact that I cry easily. And these are huge parts of me, really important parts of me. And actually, in some ways, they're more me. So I started wondering if that was in some way negatively impacting relationships, not only in the workplace, but also outside of the workplace, because I wasn't actually allowing myself to be seen. I wasn't bringing my full self forward. And that was really why we started this exploration. And I realized lots and lots of women are experiencing similar things. And to your point, men as well, because we have all these preconceptions and judgments that are preventing us from, or what we think they're preventing us, but from allowing these parts of ourselves to shine through. So when you think about that in the context of the greater human evolution, I'd say, isn't the ultimate opportunity for all of us to really know ourselves and to be able to bring those best sides of ourselves, our real selves, forward,
right,
and to allow ourselves to be seen? And if we look at the masculine and feminine in society today, and without getting too political, I think it's clear that one of the challenges we're facing is what one might call toxic masculinity. Mm. That's not the productive, healthy masculinity, but that is really the masculinity that causes separation and againstness and prevents us from feeling aligned and connected. And powerful femininity may very well be the antidote.
Yeah, I certainly think so as well. And it's exciting that, you know, we've just seen several women of color and young women elected to Congress. What do you hope is the greatest contribution of that?
Well, I hope that this opens up a new conversation, and not just broadly in society, but on a one-on-one level with ourselves. You know, first, we have an opportunity to take a step back and go, who am I? And what am I bringing forth? And how much of myself am I allowing to be seen? And what are the biases, again, conscious, subconscious, that may be preventing me from letting some of these qualities shine through? What are the judgments that I'm holding against some of these parts of myself? So I'll use myself as an example. I, without question, have always been a sensitive person. And I remember from a young age that my mom would say, Amy, you're being too sensitive. Or certainly when I started working and I would get a performance review and they'd say, Amy, sometimes you take things personally. Or you're being too sensitive. What did that do? It caused me to feel like being sensitive was a bad thing.
Right.
And then if anything, maybe I built up this armor. I toughened up because I thought that was the right way to respond and that was what was required to be taken seriously and thrive in a quote-unquote men's world. And really, as I take a step back and through all the work that we've done, it's clear that actually my sensitivity is part of what makes me the most powerful. It's what allows me to connect with others. It's what allows me to understand, sense what's happening around me. That could be in a meeting. That could be in a conversation with a loved one. That could be the reason that I notice that something's wrong with one of my employees and feel like I need to grab them after a meeting and find out what's going on so that I can help. So my sensitivity is actually incredibly powerful. And if I can bring more of that sensitivity forward in the workplace, in my personal relationships, then think of all the positive things that come as a result of that. And we break down the concept of femininity into 21 different qualities. Sensitivity is only one.
Right.
But for each person, our definition of femininity would be different. And so, sure, for me, sensitivity and emotionality and crying easily and being vulnerable, those are the things that come to mind. Softness, gentleness, those for me are what femininity means. And I think if I can operate in a place of really owning my feminine and bringing it forward, I am my best on a day-to-day basis and in general. And think if everybody is able to operate like that, where
yeah.
we go, okay, sure, this is a challenging situation, but how do I bring a little bit more grace, a little bit more softness, a little bit more kindness, a little bit more love to the situation? Mm. Really huge difference.
I'm so glad you mentioned love, because it feels like it is a central contribution of femininity. I've often thought about how the first five letters backwards in revolution spell lover.
Mm.
And I was wondering if you could talk about that active expression of love in the feminine revolution.
Well, our final chapter is actually called Love Fully.
Mm.
And each of the chapters are taking historically negative connotations and turning those on their heads. So, for example, we say, be emotional. We say, cry openly. These are things that obviously women have for years have been said, oh, you're too emotional, or you're too controlling, or you cry all the time. And certainly another feminine stereotype is that we just fall in love to a degree that may or may not serve us or be reasonable, and that we sometimes even love too fully. And we're saying, no, love fully, own it. And I open that particular chapter with one of my anecdotes. Catherine and I alternate throughout, and my story is about a guy that I met at a conference, actually, had this very romantic connection with immediately. And then he invited me to go to Sri Lanka, which everyone in my world said, that is crazy, Amy. You've spent less than 24 hours with
right,
this guy.
Of course.
And by the way, where is Sri Lanka? And yet there was a part of me, we have a whole chapter on intuition, and my gut said, of course I'm going to Sri Lanka with this guy. Because how can you say no to that? Especially because I knew the power of our connection. And it was interesting. I had no questions in my mind about whether it was the right thing to do, but definitely witnessing the reservations that others had, obviously because they wanted to protect me and make sure I didn't get hurt and that I didn't, and that I was safe, and for all good reasons. But in the end, I just went with it wholeheartedly. I went to Sri Lanka. We had the most romantic week and a half, and it was brave in a lot of ways because I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but it's exactly why I decided to go. And as I was saying goodbye to him, I was completely sobbing like there's no tomorrow in the airport because I didn't have any idea if I'd see him again. And I still don't, for that matter. But it was just such a powerful experience of really allowing myself to open up completely and be completely present with this person and take chances and love fully. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's obviously a romantic example, but if you start to extract this bigger idea, it's really how do you bring love to all situations, even when in some ways it's the biggest opportunity when it's the hardest, which is when someone's either treating you in a way that makes you feel terrible or when you are observing someone behaving in a way that you don't agree with or you think is wrong. How do we find love in those moments? I think that is the feminine revolution.
And what a powerful guide it is. You know, I think of movies like Star Wars, you know, with, you know, this totally masculine story and with war even in the title. And yet at the center of the story is the force, the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that's harnessed, there is this incredible power.
It's one of the reasons I love Wonder Woman so much, the remake in particular, because this is a story about someone driven wholeheartedly by love.
Yeah.
And she's extraordinarily powerful. So I think that it's undeniable that if you allow yourself to love fully, there's tremendous power there. And we need to do whatever we need to break down the barriers and things that are holding us back.
I want to dig into that a little bit more, but I'll just take a quick break and say this is Gwen Garcelon, and you are listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. My guest today is Amy Stanton, author of The Feminine Revolution, and we're talking about the evolutionary potential of feminine energy in our world. And I wanted to talk about the concept of surrender. That's one of your chapters in the book. You know, as a single mother, surrender was something that I got onto pretty early out of, you know, I think out of pure survival, you know, just kind of experiencing the power of that. But in the book, you say surrender requires confidence. It requires that we have some certainty, faith, trust, belief, or knowledge that relinquishing control in that moment is the best course of action and conducive to our longer-term well-being. Beautifully said. And it just brings up for me a spiritual piece of surrender that is, you know, what are we surrendering to? What is that confidence and faith in? And for me, it's always been that everything without exception is occurring for my highest evolutionary potential. And when I surrender to that, and I've tested this over many, many years, it has never failed me. And I just wanted you to talk a little bit more about surrender because it feels like such a central piece of this.
Well, it really is. And as we were going through the writing process of this book, Catherine and I each had certain chapters that felt really aligned for us and others that were a bit more of a struggle, which may have meant that those were the chapters we need to work on ourselves. But for me, one of my favorite chapters actually is the chapter about surrender. And yes, it's exactly what you're saying. It's about having total faith that everything is for you, not against you.
Yeah.
Whether it seems like that in the moment or not, it requires a real leap of faith to go, you know what? this terrible thing just happened, and I'm sure there's something good that's going to happen as a result of it. And no matter how spiritually evolved we are, that's not an easy thing to do, because things sometimes in the world, and I can think of many of them off the top of my head, you can't even fathom why there would be something good
right.
that would be coming from something so horrible.
Exactly.
But whether that's a lesson learned, or whether that's a lesson learned broadly by a large group of people, or whether that's some sort of transformation that happens, more times than not, there is good that comes out of these moments. And I had a funny turning point that was sort of, I think it was the reason I really started understanding surrender in a new way, which was, and I talked a little bit about this in the book as well, there's a little spa in Culver City near where I live where I go, and I was getting a manicure there, and there's a woman that does facials who happened to be walking around at the time I was getting this manicure, and she is an intuitive, and actually more than that, can actually speak to spirits and all kinds of mediums. So, of course, I live in Los Angeles, and we eat that stuff up here, and I personally love, you know, of course, if she says, Amy, would you like to hear what I have to say? The answer is unequivocally yes. So the thing she said is that you believe that things, whether they're good or bad, happen because of you, but really you're just a part of the system. And at first, I kind of took offense to it, because there was a part of me that thought, ooh, like, I'm not someone who pats myself on the back all the time when good things happen. And yet, I definitely am the kind of person who beats myself up if bad things happen. And I think, what could I have possibly done to avoid this? And how do I avoid it in the future? And, you know, historically, that was the way I would approach things. Like, okay, this must be fixed, or I must be fixed, or whatever it is.
You're
and
not alone.
From that moment on, I definitely started consciously thinking to myself, okay, here's an office example. We didn't win that piece of new business. Mm-hmm. We must not have been intended to win that piece of new business. And something better is going to come in as a result. And I didn't sit there fixating going, maybe it's because I should have thought differently about the proposal or done mm-hmm. more research. You know, so many times I would have gone into that sort of spinning
yep.
manner, but then I didn't. And even with good stuff, you know, I mean, the book is a perfect example, actually, because I don't have any idea how this book happened. That sounds like it's such a weird thing to say, but
right.
I've done lots and lots and lots of work in the women's space over many, many years. Obviously, I've had my own personal experiences. I always wanted to start a business, and so I did. That was in my plan, but I never had any intention to write a book. And so when I started suddenly talking about the fact that I was going to write a book, even I thought that was strange. But I feel it was given to me, you know, and I, where or how or why, a lot of those are questions that you could ask or not ask, because I'm sure it will unfold before our eyes. But it was really, it's kind of refreshing to surrender to the idea that there's a bigger picture, and that we're all part of it. And things may seem like they're not in our favor at a given moment, but they are. And
yeah.
that's why you need to allow the time to pass to be able to have that perspective. Certainly the more that I surrender to the idea that things are happening for me, the more they do.
Right. Yeah, it's so much about that choice, I think.
Mm.
And I love how you talk about the surrendering to the flow of life. And I think a lot about flow states, and have experienced so much power over the years in them. And it feels like to me, when you talk about, you know, how did this book happen? A flow state happens for me, and I notice for others, when you've done the work to immerse yourself in a skill or a conversation and really understand it quite completely. And from that place, you can then surrender and reach that sort of state of true mastery that's both about surrender and control.
Mm. I'm glad you said that, because we also have a chapter called Be Controlling.
Right.
So this is part of the whole beauty of being a complex human being,
mm-hmm.
is that there are messages out there saying, oh, you're too controlling, you're too agreeable, you know, don't give in. Give in. But what we're saying is that actually we can be all of those things, and they all can be powerful. And it is about understanding where you can affect change and where you can make an impact and taking those steps and then reaching the point where you've done what you can and then allowing things to unfold.
Right. I always love to ask people, what's something specific that you envision for the future that excites you, and certainly in the realm of the feminine revolution?
It's so funny because that's another question people have asked me. What do you hope will come from this? And there's no one thing. I mean, Certainly I hope that someday when I have a daughter and someone says to her, you're being too sensitive, she can then say thank you. That's a very specific outcome.
Right.
But
right.
More broadly, I hope that it really does start to shift individual people's lives and more broadly a cultural way of thinking about things and living. We have a huge opportunity here. And as important as all the conversations around feminism and equal opportunity are, this is an opportunity to take action on an individual level and really own our power.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's so exciting because It's such a gift to be able to talk about this in a way that allows other people to actually experience it. And in the short time that we've been really out there meaningfully talking about the book, because it launched on Election Day, oddly enough,
congratulations.
On November
6th. Auspicious.
I really have seen a lot of kind of unbelievable moments of women either having personal epiphanies or experiences or shifts that feel that they're going to be meaningful in their lives. Today I actually spoke to a group and two of the women separately were crying, and I think it was a breakthrough cry, you know, like releasing things that needed to be released. So I have no idea what other things might happen, but I really, I know we're onto something, and it excites me to be able to be a channel to assist others in whatever way I'm able.
Yeah. And I love how there are so many specifics in the book and your own personal stories. It's just gold to be able to have those kinds of real life examples and you both illustrating and expressing your own vulnerability. And it's such a game changer to experience, you know, and hear these things talked about that we have put into the category of weakness. Mm-hmm. And now starting to absolutely reframe that into power.
Yes, well, it's amazing, even as we were going through the process, how much we uncovered.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we talk about 21 different qualities, but could have been 50.
Right.
Who knows? You know, we start realizing all the different ways that women are labeled, that we're labeling ourselves, that we're labeling other women. Bossy, slutty, you name it. I mean, it's just the language is part of the issue, but it's really the intention behind it and the fact that sometimes we're not even aware that we're doing it. We're creating these limitations for ourselves and for others, and to be able to have a consciousness around it that allows us to shift that and to stop doing that, it's exciting. And the reason the tools were so important is because we really want people to feel that this is actionable. We want to be able to say, you know what, you feel that maybe you need to work on your sensitivity. Here are 5 ways of doing that. So that you can walk away and go, you know what, I have something new to think about in the way that I operate in the day-to-day. I mean, I was amazed. One of the people we interviewed for the book is a woman named Pat Allen, and she's a very sort of old-school therapist and author that's done amazing work around masculinity and femininity and relationships. And she, at the end of our conversation, she said, Amy, what's going on with you? You know, and she meant specifically in context of a romantic relationship. And I said, whatever. I'm sure I have my story. And she doesn't really, she can see right through any of that, of course. And she said, you need to flirt more. You need to flirt with 3 men every single day. And this is how you're going to do it. And you're going to go and you're going to look them in the eye for 30 seconds or however many seconds it is.
Right.
You'd think I'd know this. Obviously, I haven't really been doing a great job with it. But I was so astounded by how helpful it was just to have that practical tool, you know. It's like it really started to feel so much more accessible to me. And we do include it, whatever her recommended protocol is in the book. So apparently I'm the one that needs to read the book again. But
oh, Amy,
it really
thank
makes
you.
A difference.
You know, thank you for all that, you know, you share so personally in the book and certainly in this conversation. I can't wait to really finish. I've read parts of the book, and I just can't recommend it enough. It's astounding.
Thanks.
So thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
you bet. Then to all the listeners, thanks so much for being with us today. If you have a question for Amy or me, you can join the Facebook page at The Inner Game, and that acts as a forum to continue these conversations, and you can find out where to listen to past shows. And until next time, allow and express your feminine power.